What do angels really look like? I'm Joshua P. Warren, and recently I was in the shower listening to an edition of Coast to Coast AM hosted by Richard Syrett, who frequently fills in for George Norrie on the weekends. Richard Syrett is a great guy. He's interviewed me numerous times over the years. And Richard's guest was a man named Ken Ami. This was on April 22nd of 2023. And Ken Ami has written over 70 books, I think. And he is an expert on mysteries of the Bible. And the topic of this show was paranormal stuff in the Bible. And I want to point out for a second that it's kind of interesting that Ken, and that's K-E-N, and the last name is spelled A-M-M-I, Ken Ami, he said that when it comes to like the term supernatural as opposed to paranormal, he said that the only thing that can actually be literally considered a supernatural concept is the concept of God. Because super means outside or beyond. So supernatural means outside of nature. And so only the idea of God would actually be a supernatural concept, because that the idea is that God created nature. Therefore, God must somehow be outside of nature. And anything else that therefore happens within God's creation, no matter how bizarre it is still not supernatural. It's within the natural. And so therefore you can call it paranormal. But the only thing that you can truly legitimately say is supernatural is the concept of God. And I've thought about that myself before, but it was just kind of interesting to think about that even more deeply as he was saying it. But his website is truefreethinker.com, truefreethinker.com. So what do angels really look like? This is a fascinating topic to me. I have read the Bible numerous times throughout my life. I was raised up in a Christian household in North Carolina, West North Carolina, literally like Billy Graham's land. Billy Graham's house was, you know, like 15 or 20 minutes, you know, like down the road. And so I am very familiar with the King James version of the Bible. And even though I've read it numerous times, I have never proclaimed to be a Bible expert. I'm not one of these people who can just recite chapters and verses and stuff. Most of my Bible reading was done late at night, and I would end up, you know, at some point waking up with it on my chest. So it can be a good sedative at times, but I have read it. And so I have a pretty, you know, I guess decent familiarity with it. And, it was interesting to hear him talk about, the nuances that are in the Bible that are often misrepresented, by future artists and authors and whatnot. So anyway, he bases his answers to these kinds of questions strictly on the Bible, not apocryphal texts or other texts that may date to the Middle Ages. So in case you know you're kind of new to this term apocryphal, so basically, apocrypha are written works of unknown authorship or doubtful origin. So, for example, there's this whole book that is known as the Apocrypha, which has all kinds of stories that supposedly some believe should be in the Bible, but they were officially rejected by the theologians who got to edit and determine what made the cut and what didn't in the Bible. So, and in fact, there's a ton of stuff that people just in pop culture believe about the Bible because they are instead thinking about this apocryphal content. So a lot of the legends and mythos that we associate with spiritual beings, especially angels and stuff, is actually not directly in the Bible. It comes from these sort of, you know, spin-off texts, and I guess you could call them that. So anyway, Richard Sirrett asked this guy, like, okay, what do they look like? And he said that if you just actually read what's in the Bible, angels look like human adult males. They don't have wings. They don't have a halo. There's nothing special about them at all. They do not freak people out by how they look. The only reason that people are freaked out by them is because that they just sort of appear out of the blue. Like, you don't see them materialize, but I mean, like, you'll be in a room and then all of a sudden there's a dude there and you're like, where did you come from? You know, and that's the eerie kind of freaky thing about angels, that you think you're alone and then all of a sudden there's this guy there. That's, you know, because otherwise you would have no knowledge whatsoever that you were talking to an angel. So I don't know if that means that angels are shapeshifters, or if angels literally just, you know, like, we were designed to look like angels. And in fact, in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, it says, you might entertain angels unaware. It literally says, I'm looking at it right now, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And that is why, you know, if you see some stranger, whether it's somebody who's got a handout or whatever, and you think, no, not today, you might want to, you know, think about the opposite scenario where you might end up being the person who's got the handout one day and you need that help, you know. And so that said, angels look like adult human males according to the Bible. And the job of an angel is to be a messenger and a worker. You know, they're very hands-on. They pop up and they get things done. And he said that they are not omniscient or omnipresent. So, you know, omnipresent means always around us. He says that according to the Bible, they're not always here. They have a job, and they come when they need to do that job and they leave. Now, I'm not saying that I believe all this. He's just saying this is what the Bible says. And so keep that in mind about this whole podcast. Because I kind of tend to think that maybe there are angels that are like guardian angels that are with you all the time. Personally, that's my feeling. But the Bible doesn't specifically say that. Also, they're certainly not omniscient, because he said there are a number of examples in the Bible where angels, they're wondering about things, and, you know, and they don't have all the answers. And so they're kind of experiencing this creation the same way we are with all of its mysteries. They're just operating on a different frequency, different level, different dimension most of the time. But then they can morph into this human experience when a job needs to be accomplished, and then they can, you know, go somewhere else. They can take off. And that the reason that we think of angels with wings, it really has more than anything to do with the imagination of people like painters, especially in the Middle Ages, who were trying to depict a scene where someone is interacting with an angel. And instead of having all these people who are regular people talking to somebody who also looks like a regular person, they said, well, we got to make the angel stand out somehow. We got to make the angel look different. And because the angels were always traveling around, now, mind you, this is before we had airplanes and stuff. So what could fly around and accomplish that? Birds, you know, things with wings. So the wings just became almost a symbolic thing. And again, honestly, I think some of them may actually have wings, which is why you even get stuff like, you know, Mothman-esque stuff. I mean, again, this is a much deeper conversation than I was planning to get into, but some of them might actually have wings, but it's not necessary. But as far as pop culture is concerned, apparently, you know, it's just the painting the wings represents their ability to travel, and the halo and the radiant glow and all that, this man, Ken Ami, says, is just sort of about, you know, this feeling that you might get from a very charismatic or special person. All right, so if you just consider that, you know, that they don't have the wings and the halos, and they're kind of just busybodies that are going around here doing jobs, he says that there are, according to the Bible, three categories of angels. There's the angel of the Lord, and I think the angel of the Lord comes out when, frankly, like the shit really hits the fan and something serious needs to be done. I don't know that for a fact. He didn't say that, but that's my impression. And then there is the archangel, which I guess is sort of like the manager. And then there are regular angels. And the angel of the Lord is only called the angel of the Lord. There are only three times in the Bible when angels are actually named. The archangel is called Michael. And by the way, I hear people say all the time archangel, but it's supposed to be archangel. Okay. So it's Archangel Michael. And then also the second name of an angel is Gabriel in the Bible. And then the third one is Abaddon, and a lot of people miss that one, which is also known as Apollyon. I'm going to get more into that in a second. And then there is possibly, he said, a fourth one in the book of Revelations 9 called Wormwood. That's very odd. Now, some of you might be thinking like, well, I've heard of Raphael, and he goes, no, I guess that's apocryphal stuff. And also you might be thinking, well, what about Lucifer? Lucifer was a fallen angel. He says, nope, actually Lucifer, if you read the Bible, was not an angel. That's a different thing. And I will get back to that in a second as well. But he says there are different types of beings that are still spiritual beings. There's the seraphim or the cherubim. And these are spiritual beings, but angels are a very specific type of being. And he said it would be wrong, for example, to say that humans are the same as cows, because that we're both physical beings on the same planet at the same time. We're very different. We have very different roles. And he said there's all kinds of spiritual beings, but angels are a distinctive type. I'm also going to get into demons in a minute, but let's go back to the angels. So he said that, this would be like a 4-hour podcast if I really got into all the details. So let me make this as concise as possible. We've all heard of the Archangel Michael, and we've heard of Gabriel. I don't even remember Abaddon or Apollyon. And so I was like, okay, let me look this up. Maybe I've just, you know, I used to smoke weed when I was young, so that may have something to do with it. Let's see. Okay. Abaddon. Oh, I got to look it up. Isn't the internet nice? Everybody can sound like a scholar if they just have the memory or a web page in front of them. Okay, so the Hebrew term Abaddon and its equivalent root Apollyon, that's a Greek root, appear in the Bible as two things, both a place of destruction and an angel of the abyss. In the Hebrew Bible, Abaddon is used with reference to a bottomless pit, often appearing alongside. Okay, so it's not good. It's not a good thing. And you know, well, I guess anytime somebody says in the book of Revelation, they probably don't say something positive next, do they? So that's kind of a general rule of thumb when it comes to the Bible. If somebody brings up Revelation, you're like, this is not going to be good. All right. So anyway, but then he says that it's debatable, but it's possible that the fourth one that is mentioned by name in the Bible is wormwood. And that's interesting to me because when I was reading the Bible and at that time, you know, I was talking to people who also were reading the Bible a lot, like my dad, and kind of our thought was that wormwood was supposed to be in the book of Revelation, some kind of a meteor that appears and falls and wreaks havoc. And it says in the Bible that it makes water, like the water of the oceans and stuff, too bitter to drink, which is a big problem, which is why if you've heard of wormwood, it's probably referring to, you know, a bitter substance that you put in your mouth. So, but if we actually look at it, it says here in Wikipedia, wormwood is a star or an angel in Revelation, and that certain commenters have held that this is a great star, and others say that it's literally a being, because, all right, let me see if I can find, all right, here's the actual quote. What do you think? Let's see how you interpret this. Here's what it says in the King James Version. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many died from the water because it was made bitter. So that's Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. So the question is, does that mean when it says that the angel blew his trumpet and a great star fell from heaven, does that mean that the angel is the same thing as the star that comes down, or the angel is signifying this? I don't know. My impression is it's probably not an angel. I think it's probably some kind of crazy bullshit that comes down from God. But anyway, so that's interesting, though, don't you think, that that is a possible interpretation? So just as a short recap here, so there are only three angels that are named in the Bible, Michael, Gabriel, and Abaddon. And there are only three types of angels, the angel of the Lord, which seems to be a single angel, and then the archangel Michael, or the archangel. I mean, I don't know, maybe that he's retired by now. And then regular angels, or you might even say lower angels, like I guess Gabriel would possibly be. But that's it. Michael, Gabriel, Abaddon, and then, you know what the whole wormwood thing is about now. So, all right, so let's get into Lucifer. Because you always hear like, well, Lucifer, he's a fallen angel, right? Well, apparently, that's actually not the case. Lucifer is a different type of being. And what's really odd is that when you start looking into it from a scholarly point of view, it says Lucifer is one of various figures associated with the planet Venus. The entity's name was subsequently absorbed into Christianity as a name for the devil. Modern scholarship generally translates the term in the Bible passage, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, as a morning star or a shining one, rather than a proper term. Okay, so he is just described as some kind of a being of light. And if you specifically look at what the Bible says, it apparently, okay, so here is a translation of the Bible from the original Hebrew, in which it states the phrase Lucifer, or morning star. And it says, on the day the Lord gives you relief from your suffering and turmoil, and from the harsh labor forced on you, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon, how the oppressor has come to an end, how his fury has ended. So whatever Lucifer is, he has done something really, really shitty here, and God is not happy about it. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth. And now that's interesting, isn't it? Like, hey, you really screwed up. Guess what? You get to go to earth. That says a lot about where we are, doesn't it? You have been cast down to the earth, who you once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. Those who see you stare at you. They ponder your fate. Is this the man who shook the earth and made kingdoms terrible? The man who made the world a wilderness, who overthrew its cities and would not let its captives go home? Wow. So, if you're having a bad day, and I'm talking to you, if you are having a bad day, this might be an explanation for what's going on. Because when Lucifer was sent down where we are, they said, hey, you're going to the realm of the dead, the depths of the pit, asshole. So maybe that's why we all struggle, you know. We're trying to get better, aren't we? But we know it's one thing you're going to have to deal with in this life is sadness. Because no matter how good things are, you know, people are going to die. Animals are going to die. You know, my old buddy Bill Banner, he lived to be an old man. He said the thing that sucks about being old is you get to watch all your friends die. So I'm sorry. I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm just trying to play some context into what I'm reading here. But this is also really interesting when it comes to like who the devil is. Because basically it seems like, if I'm understanding this correctly, that Lucifer, the devil, is actually different from Satan. Could it be Satan? And so what that means is, okay, give me a second here. By the way, I've done no preparation for this, so I think that you appreciate that, right? So it says here that the metaphor of the morning star from Isaiah, it's pretty much the original name of the devil before his fall from grace. And considering pride is a major sin, Lucifer became the template for the devil. And as a result, Lucifer was identified with the devil in Christianity and popular fiction and all that, like Paradise Lost. But early medieval Christianity distinguished between Lucifer and Satan. All right. So Lucifer and the devil are supposed to be the same thing, but they're saying that Satan is a different thing. Lucifer, as the devil, is fixated in hell. He's locked down there. According to, like, you know, the Dante's Inferno kind of thing. He is locked there, and you do not want to go down there and party with him. But Satan is a different being that executes the desires of Lucifer as his vassal, which I guess is like a vessel. I don't know. I was born in West North Carolina. I don't know, some V-A-S-S-A-L. So, look, I'm not a preacher. I'm not telling you this is how it is or anything. I'm just saying, apparently, this is the story that we're getting from the Bible. So the devil is not an angel. The devil, okay, yeah, that's right. So Lucifer is some kind of other being that was not an angel, that God held in high esteem, but tried to overthrow God's plan, and he was cast down to the shithole, which is Earth, to live amongst you and me. And then, so he's somewhere here, but then there's this other guy called called Satan, who's running around trying to help out Lucifer, aka the devil. I think that's what's going on here, according to the story. And so, again, there are all these different types of beings. But if you think about the idea that angels can be like the angel of the Lord or the archangel or a regular angel, would you may ask the question when this is what came up on the show. Richard Syrett asked Ken Amit, well, what do demons have the same kind of setup or structure? And he goes, no. Demons are a totally different ballgame. He said that by definition, demons do not even have the ability to appear like angels do, because they are strictly spirits. So in other words, somehow an angel, according to the Bible, has the ability to appear to you as what looks like a normal person. But the Bible does not ever state that a demon can appear in any kind of physical form. He said that they do not have a physical form. And what they do is they just infect your mind as spirits. And you know what? I got to tell you, that, to me personally, that makes sense. That is why they are so dangerous. Because we are so enthralled with I got to see it to believe it, you know. I have to be able to see it and smell it and put my hands on it. And so the most dangerous things would be things that you can't do that with, which is like germs, for example. And that's what I've always thought that demons are, is a form of spiritual parasite that's very much like a germ. And it can get into your mind and start feeding on you and slowly kill you if you can't get rid of it. That's, again, that's like a different topic for a different podcast, but I have talked about this sort of thing here and there over the years. So this is a lot to think about, and again, I want to reiterate that I'm not telling you that I believe all of this or this is my philosophy. I just thought it was really interesting to listen to this guy, Ken Ami. Again, his website is truefreethinker.com. And nobody's paying me or nobody's asked me to talk about this. You know, this is just something that I'm bringing up because I've been thinking about it. I like to do that these days. I listen to an interview and I turn around and I'm like, let me just tell you what I got from that interview. It's almost like a reaction podcast. And the thing that I find most fascinating about all of this is if there is truth to it, then it means that you're kind of living in a Truman Show where there may be angels that are running around you all the time and you don't know it. But you could go even further and be like, well, what if I like have known an angel for 20 years? Do some of them stick around that long? Is it possible? Am I married to an angel? What if I am married to an angel? I mean, like, they really set me up. This is the biggest prank of my life. And the whole time, the angel's just sitting there like, yep, fuck this guy. Actually, maybe I shouldn't use that terminology. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, they're sitting there and they're talking about the things they don't like about you and keeping a close record. Nah, sure, that can't be right. That can't be it. All right, well, I guess that's it for this edition of this particular podcast. And, you know, if you don't know this already, this is like a little bonus behind the scenes R-rated podcast that I do sometimes when I just have some kind of crazy thoughts I want to get off my chest. My main regular mainstream weekly podcast is called Joshua. It's called Strange Things, and with Joshua P. Warren. And so if you want to listen to that, it's on the Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network and presented by iHeartRadio. So go to strangethingsshow.com, and that's family friendly. You know, I don't cuss, and everything is really like on point and well prepared, and you know, I sit down and I'm clean and sober, and I sit there and give you my presentation. I enjoy it, but sometimes it's nice just to kick back with the microphone and say, well, this is some weird shit, you know, let me talk to you about that. And that's what I do here occasionally. So please subscribe to this. However you're hearing this, it's called Joshua P. Warren Daily. It's just, you know, an inconsistent thing that I do sometimes at this point. I know you're like, well, why is it called daily? Well, it was daily at one point, but it's not anymore. But again, please go to strangethingsshow.com and make sure you follow the programs there, because, you know, I don't know if it's a curse or a blessing, but I'm super curious, and I go down the rabbit holes, and I think you'll be interested in some of the same things that I'm interested in, you know, that I explore. So I guess that is it for this particular little bonus podcast, if you want to call it that. So again, I'm Joshua P. Warren. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your interest and support. Thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon.